It is 208. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, News Talk 830 WCCO. We are here until 305. Look who's here still. Look, I mean, I don't want to name drop anything, but former Vikings cornerback Bobby Bryant right there. Bobby Bryant right there. Good to see Bobby. He looks good, doesn't he?
Very good.
Bobby Bryant. Seeing him, the timing's right because I'm going to go back to what we talked about with that guy during Ask. Okay. The storm was back, and we all agree yesterday
it was strong.
Was a bit frightening. The photos were amazing.
Yes, they were.
The
from
photos,
here, from the ballpark, from everywhere.
I mean, if 30% of them were fake, I have no idea, right? Because you could have pulled off a lot of fake photos yesterday because there were so many good ones.
Well, it's like the Northern Lights, right? You can't see it with your eyes, but you pull out the iPhone. Oh, it's beautiful.
Let's be honest, too. That's one of the greatest scams of all time.
Yes.
They tell us, oh, here's a rare occasion. The Northern Lights. You know what time you can see the Northern Lights? About 74 times a year. I mean, where's Carter? Carter, you, Matt, you with me? The Northern Lights, it's constantly.
It's like an eclipse. What, an eclipse like this will never happen in another thousand years.
I think my new side gig is going to be astronomer. I'm just going to look it up, and I'm going to say, today. I don't know why I'm doing this in the whisper too.
Go ahead.
Today. You're going to have a chance to see the former planet known as Pluto. And then everybody's going to be excited. And then the B-level astronomers like Cook, who has his little telescope. I'm like a professional astronomer. Then I'm going to get everybody to go along with it. I saw Pluto. It's a great scam.
It is a great scam. Cook's very proud of that little telescope.
He is.
Coming in last week's show. You see, I saw Saturn, this little blob.
He knows better not to show me. He knows so much better. This guy's, you know what, this man's leaving. You know what he is? He's a professional astronomer. Mm-hmm. He is, go ahead, leave. Yeah, I mean,
telescope enthusiast.
He's got a telescope. Cook, we got another telescope guy out here. Get out here and bond with him. Let's go. Other businesses that are absolute frauds. Body language experts.
Yeah, there's a good one.
I mean, okay, don't even go
there. They got the Saturn photos out.
Oh, my God.
Can you see the rings?
Body language. I can't. If you would have got me a treat, I would be looking at that. I would be all over that. Body language experts. Okay. There's a man who's going to join us in just a little bit. He's got a gig. Kurt Dowd could be a body language expert. You know, you see a couple. Yeah, guy's got his arms folded. You know what he is? Frustrated. He's very frustrated. This man right here, Adam Carter, body language expert. What do you want to say about that guy? You know what he is? He really doesn't want to be here, but the host browbeat him into staying. You know, body language expert. Food critic. Everybody's a food critic right now, right? I think we have too many food critics.
Well, just the title, a foodie. I'm a foodie.
Yeah.
You know who else is a foodie? Everyone who eats.
Exactly.
Every person who eats is a foodie.
Uh-oh. Cardinals guy, very disappointed. Just waved us off.
He must be a
foodie. Wow, he's a foodie.
He's a foodie.
He's a food critic right there. He won't even acknowledge us. You're beneath me. Get out of here. Get out of here. Carter, you got anybody who's just a scam artist? What job? How about XL Energy spokesperson, considering what they put out earlier today?
Yeah, totally. Good contribution.
Yeah. That's what Adam came out here and said. Totally. Totally.
Hey, he's after hours. Can't bug him.
Why are you here still?
Getting my steps in.
Steps in? We're just wandering around?
Yeah.
What'd you see? Anything interesting?
Yeah, good some good T-shirt sightings. Went to the swine barn.
How was it?
Lots of swine.
Did you have any bacon? Should they have bacon right there? Should you be able to buy bacon right there?
Probably. They don't know any different.
I mean, is that just taunting? If you're just having
it's all good.
You know, you're just having right there. Kurt Dowd's going to join us next segment. We'll get caught up with the former Speaker of the House. I have a number of items for him. I really want to encourage you, though, to podcast our first segment today. We were lucky, and the circumstances are awful. Casey O'Brien is a name where he has become very familiar with people. And you don't even have to be a college football fan. You don't have to be a sports fan. You just have to have some decency and compassion about you. Casey O'Brien became well known because he was with the Gophers and he continued to battle cancer. Casey first had this rare form of bone cancer when he was 13. Then it came back when he was 15. Then it came back and he battled it a number of times when he was at the U of M. The University of Minnesota football team was the only team where it cleared Casey to be on their team because of his perpetual battle with cancer, not just bone cancer, but going into his lungs. Casey recently told us in an interview, you can podcast, please, Odyssey, Apple, anywhere you get your podcast, Chad Hartman Show, it is available. You also could go to us on Twitter, at Chad Hartman Show. Mm-hmm. You could also, Casey retweeted it. You could go to KCOB14 and click on it there. Sadly, the cancer has come back. He has beat cancer 7 times before. He has raised well over $1.4 million with the help of others and an extraordinary amount of work from him, from Masonic Children's Hospital, the 9th floor, where kids, your kids, it could be any one of our kids, are battling cancer, right? And there are a lot of insidious diseases on this planet, but when we see not just our own kids, but when we see children battling cancer, that's about as tough as it gets. And so Casey hoped he was done with this, and he found out a few weeks ago that the cancer's come back for an 8th time. And now it has come back where a hospital in Chicago, working with Mayo Clinic, they've had a treatment out there, and I think Casey said for about 2 years. But because it's so new, the treatment is not yet covered by insurance. So here is a young man who is battling cancer for the 8th time since he was 13 years old. And he has a treatment where they're really hopeful about it, but cancer and this treatment are not covered by his insurance. And I think it should anger all of us. Mm. I think it should infuriate every single one of us that he has to battle this for an 8th time. So, by the way, if you believe in God's plan, we just couldn't disagree anymore. But he has to battle this for an 8th time as one of the kindest people you're ever going to meet. And now he doesn't even, he has insurance, but his insurance won't cover it. So he now, working with others, has a GoFundMe page.
I've got it up.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of people that are seemingly as angry as you are that insurance isn't covered this, that this is a system we have. Nearly 2,000 people have donated already $180,000 and $29.
That makes me feel good in a terrifying situation for,
yes,
Casey O'Brien. And I realize that every child out there doesn't have the platform that Casey does. But you have to understand, Casey O'Brien has spent uncountless number of hours on that 9th floor comforting kids. And when he would play for the Gophers, he would wear those wristbands of kids who are battling cancer. And many of those kids still aren't here. So if you can help out, I don't care if it's $5, $10. Maybe you're a big knocker who's listening to us right now. I had multiple people come up to me and say they're going home to donate $1,000.
Wonderful.
Maybe you can donate $10,000. Maybe it's just $5. Please go to our site at Chad Hartman Show. Go to at KCOB14 and donate and help this young man who's battling cancer for an 8th time. The former Speaker of the House, Kurt Dowd, is next on WCCO. It is 22 minutes past the hour of 2. The former Speaker of the House, Kurt Dowd, is here. How about a round of applause for Kurt, who stopped on by? 2 of the 3 members of your family applauding.
Yes.
I mean, how should you feel about that?
If a Republican's getting 66%, it's good in Minnesota. I won't complain.
That is pretty good. Okay. You've joined me out here at the fair many times. I appreciate that. When you come out here at the fair, if you can come out here and stop at your first place, where is Kurt Dowd's first place to stop?
I did, actually, today. I got here at about 1 o'clock. I walked through the gate, and I went to the Turkey to Go booth and had a turkey sandwich. That's my all-time favorite. So
Turkey to Go, they used to have a location right across the street from us downtown.
Okay.
And I went there all the time.
Yeah.
So then when I would come out here to the fair, it wasn't high priority.
Yeah.
It is now.
I love it.
Turkey to Go. Okay. I'm sure you miss many aspects of politics. I'm sure you don't miss many aspects of politics. Do you miss the fair when people were upset with you? You certainly wouldn't mind when, like, hey, Kurt, you're doing a great job. But if somebody was agitated with you.
You know, I will say Minnesota Nice is a real thing. And I never really had a very bad experience.
Not even one time?
Nope. In all the years that I was coming to the fair, even out in public, didn't really matter. Didn't have to. I never had a really uncomfortable where somebody was rude and just, you know, yelling at you and swearing at you. I mean, I've had people, you know, yell things out, but
yeah.
Nobody's ever come up and, you know, accosted me before, which Minnesotans are pretty... you know, pretty nice that way.
Tell people your job right now, because a lot of people probably don't know what you're doing
sure.
at this point.
Yeah, I work for a consulting firm in Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. And we have corporate clients who we help them develop strategy or, you know, do risk assessments for their... and we do help them engage with state governments. We don't do any lobbying directly. If they need a lobbyist, we refer them to somebody else. But... we kind of advise them on how they should get engaged and where they should get engaged, strategy and kind of risk assessment. Really.
If I would have told you six years ago, that would be your job 6 years. What would you have said yourself?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Right?
I don't know.
Would you have guessed you would still be in politics at that point?
You know, I don't know. Probably not. I did 13 years in the legislature, which I thought was a long time. I would have not thought I would have gone past 12 years or even 10 years. Everybody always thought I was going to run for something else, run for governor.
I used
something.
To ask you that constantly.
I know.
Right?
And I never did. I never did.
But how come?
I wanted to. The timing was never right. I just never... I always felt like my team needed me in the House, and, you know, I was the leader of the caucus for 10 years, so I just kind of felt like... And I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I felt like I was good at it. You know, maybe too good. I don't know. Or depends on your perspective, I guess. The Democrats didn't like me. But I think, you know, they used to tell me, they were honest, they didn't like because I was an effective messenger, right? So I could very easily and succinctly kind of message against what they were doing and in a way that people could absorb. And I think, you know, I was an adversary.
Worthy adversary?
Worthy adversary.
Closest you came to running was?
I think, what year would it have been? 18. And I actually did some fundraising.
Okay.
I went around on the circuit and did a little fundraising.
For the governor position?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I never started a campaign or a committee, but had a couple of events where I was just raising it into my own campaign, because then you can, if you declare you're going to run for governor, you can flip it over.
Yep.
So, and it's, you actually get the benefit of it. You can raise from those same people again in the new committee. So there was a little benefit to it. But
okay. How far along did you go?
I didn't get too seriously into it.
Yep.
I did tour around the state and talk to folks. We kind of built up some supporters, but the timing didn't end up being right, either for me or I didn't feel like it was going to be a very good cycle. And I was right about that, too.
That was Jeff Johnson's second run.
Yes.
Against Tim Walz.
Yep.
Do you think for the same position, do you think either party should put the same person out there a second time, male or female?
No.
Yeah.
No. Although, you know, I say that, but there's a lot of people who have run multiple times. I think John Klein down in the 2nd District ran 3 times before he won.
Yep.
And he was a great member of Congress. So, yep. You know, I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, and I like Jeff Johnson. I think he's a great guy.
He's a very nice man.
I don't
man.
Think it was the right dynamic the second time, right? So, but I think it was a little more appealing because he ran against Dayton the first time and against Walz the second time. It was an open seat, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
I think that looked like a little better opportunity. Running against an incumbent is tougher.
Yeah, it
no
is.
No question.
What needs to happen for your party, the Republican Party, to win a statewide race? You know this very, very well.
Yeah.
Jim Pawlenty, 2006, is the last one. I think he even mentioned this last time we talked.
Yep.
Because Pawlenty's on this show fairly often, and he keeps saying we got to stop doing the same damn thing.
Yeah.
That if we don't adjust the brand,
yep.
if we don't look at it like as consumer,
yep.
that the public is saying no. Not saying no to individual races,
yep. Yep.
because you certainly, I mean, there's both the House and Senate are relatively close.
Yep.
And in some seats, Republicans win easy. But at a statewide level, it just doesn't happen. What should change?
The number one thing that, well, I'm going to answer your question directly first, which is Republicans need to connect with voters in a better way. We need to, and I feel like we're better on the issues. Unfortunately, we aren't better at talking about it. We aren't better at connecting on them. And so we need to do a better job of that. I think it was on your show that Tim Pawlenty said, we've become experts at losing elections.
That is
Republicans
correct.
Have. And, yep. and I think that's true. And, yep. and, but outside of what should Republicans do? And now that I'm on the outside, kind of looking back in, the number one thing that we need to do as a state, and this is people on both sides of the aisle, we need to get away from our damn caucus system. I think it's destroying both parties from the inside. The Democrats have done a better job. The last two governors that have been elected did not get endorsed by their parties. They ran in a primary. They became the nominee, and they won. For Republicans, we've always had a primary, but the person who wins the endorsement has always won the primary.
Yep.
So we have not broken the primary system or the caucus system yet. And I think we need to. The problem with the caucus system is you've got, I don't know, a couple thousand people or, you know, I don't know what yeah. the number is, 5,000 people maybe that show up statewide at these
max,
little meetings.
Right.
And they are, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, extreme versus moderate. People who should be there don't go because it's such a pain in the neck. And
it's a Saturday. It's not really prime time politics.
And then going through these conventions, it's terrible. So you've got the smallest number of people making the decision on who our candidates
but
are.
But don't you think it is for the Democrats further to the left and for the Republicans
correct.
Further to the
it
right
absolutely
who
it
shows
has done
up?
That. It
right?
has done that.
And
okay, yep.
let me just try to push back at when you say you think the Republicans are better on the issues.
Yep.
Don't you think there are plenty of Democrats who listen right now saying, Kurt, I like you, but if we keep winning every race from 06 on, how can you say the Republicans are better on the issue?
Because we can't connect with people on it. We can't. I mean, you just look at what Tim Walz has done and the Democrats and the legislature have done in the last 2 years. I mean, they increased the state budget by 40%. I mean, the only way you can pay for that is tax increases. And while we had a surplus to cover it now, about $10 billion of that was like ongoing increased spending.
It's always there. It's built in.
And they are, I mean, we are already the fourth highest tax state in the country. If we continue on this path, there's no I mean, Tim Walz, Mark Dayton used to always say, we don't want to be an outlier on anything. And we have become outliers on all of this stuff.
Well, I mean, listen, I am no fan of how far they went.
Yeah.
Right? I think when he was a congressman, I think it's clear, he was a centrist. He ran attempting to be a centrist.
Yep.
I think the first one where you were there for all of it, there were times, but when they got the trifecta, I think they basically admitted they just felt like they didn't know how long they were going to get it,
yep.
and they went for every yep. single position
they
that
miss that opportunity.
Really believed. Yeah.
right.
And as you said last time,
yeah.
okay, I remember you saying this to your credit, and I think the Republican Party should listen. If the Republicans had the same opportunity, they most likely would have done the same thing, just with different positions.
I think that's true.
Yeah,
I think that's true, and I think our system incentivizes that sort of behavior,
yeah.
right? So, and we are this state that can flip back and forth. I don't know for how long, but it's been flipping back and forth. So, you know, when Republicans are in control, they try to move us this direction. Democrats try to move us that direction, and you don't end up with a consistent, steady policy that's good for the state. And unfortunately, nobody's sitting in St. Paul with a long-term, you know, if you ran a business that was a $40 billion business, you'd do some long-term planning and you'd have a strategic plan and you'd have a roadmap to that plan out 10, 15, 20 years. But ours is tack hard this way, then tack hard that
yep.
way. And it's very reactionary and it's not good for the state.
By the way, that's what happens in the country too. right?
Yes.
I mean, I still believe 40 to 50% of the country is somewhere in the middle, but unfortunately they're not represented. And to me, they're not represented at the top of the ticket with these two options we have. Let's pause. Let's go to traffic and weather. We'll keep Kurt for another segment. Don't forget Jason at the top of the hour. Kurt Dowd, the former Speaker of the House, kind enough to join us. It's 2:33 on the home of the Twins, WCCO. Kurt is back with us. Kurt Dowd. Okay. Yesterday, among the dumbest stories was that Governor Walz, who you have a healthy disagreement with, right?
Yes.
The idea yesterday off one goofball tweet that Scout, his dog, wasn't real.
So I have a theory about this.
Okay. I mean, and honestly, there were people debating, did Governor Walz, does he really have a dog? I mean, own up to, by the way, you think he's too far left, or you question this and that. Fine, all fair, but he doesn't have a dog, and he was lying about his dog? That's where we are in America 2024.
Yeah, yeah. My theory is that Democrats put that stuff out to distract Republicans from the real issues.
Come on.
And the Republicans hook, line, and sinker fall for it. Well, they're all over it. All my people I follow on Twitter are all over that story. And it's like, come on, guys. You got a governor who literally allowed Minneapolis to burn, made the decision personally to pull the people out of the third precinct and give it up to the protesters. You've got the largest criminal fraud against the federal government in history. And we're talking about the governor's dog. Get the hook out of your mouth and get to the issues that could actually sway voters.
Those are all valid points, right? And I think people should spend way more time on that. In this case, it was a Republican supporter who did it. There are other times that both parties can throw the hook.
Yes.
But
that's how I know how to recognize the hook.
Yeah, this is utter nonsense. In this case, it was somebody who was very sympathetic to the Republican Party. Okay, we're going to have a debate September 10th between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. How vital is that debate to who's going to be our next president?
I think it's pretty vital. I think it's important. It's interesting to see if they're going to keep the rules of the last debate that were already agreed to. It
mic on, mic off.
Came out yesterday that now Kamala Harris doesn't want the mics cut off. She wants Donald Trump to interrupt, and I think Donald Trump wants the mics off. But that's what was agreed to.
His supporters want the mic off.
Well, true.
Whether Donald does is another situation, and he's the only one that matters.
I'll tell you what, though, it's tough not to interrupt people when they're saying something that you either know not to be true or you vehemently disagree with.
Right.
I've been in that situation, but I think it's pretty vital. I wish I knew the exact number, and I should have checked before we went on the air. 35 days now. How many days has she been in? And still has not done a sit-down interview or a press conference. Yeah. And imagine this.
I agree with you 100%
on this point. The leading candidate running for president of the United States, the leading candidate in her entire campaign, has never done an interview with the press and has not done a press conference. And we're 35 days in. It used to be the first thing you did was the round with the press. You announce you're running and you go and do interviews with all the press. So what are they hiding? Why isn't she talking? And what are they afraid of?
Okay.
And I think we're potentially going to see that in that first debate.
Well, you're preaching the choir on this one because, you know, we also have to point out, and I'll just say this briefly on Trump and get back to Harris. When Trump holds a press conference, facts are optional. Okay. He might bump into a fact or two occasionally. However, you're 100% right. She didn't make it to Iowa in 2020. Not a single person voted for her this time.
Correct.
The Democrats didn't tell the truth about Joe Biden for a year plus.
And she helped cover it up.
She played a part of it. So at this point, she absolutely, positively should answer questions. But you know what they're going to say? She keeps going slowly but surely up in the polls. They keep raising more and more money. So why should they disrupt it? As a member of the media, I hate it.
Now, you want my honest opinion? They're pretty smart. They're pretty smart to keep her under wraps.
Yeah.
Because it has been working. And if I was them, I would try to continue it as long as I could. And I was thinking about this yesterday. It also means that the questions about Joe Biden and him getting out of the race, those are old history now, right? Are they going to really ask her you know, how much did you know? When did you know it? When did you realize he couldn't run for president, or that he wasn't, you know, or if he couldn't run for president, how is he acting and serving as president right now? And if he's not making those decisions, who is? She can't answer those questions.
Okay.
Not honestly.
So I care about this. You as a Republican cares about it. Does the voting public care about this issue nearly as much as we do? If Trump wins, and I have no idea who's going to win, as long as Biden was in the race, I don't think there was any doubt Donald Trump was going to win, okay? I have no idea who's going to win this. Does the public really care about the policy points? Who do the press conferences truly appeal to? I say this as someone who absolutely wants her to conduct a press conference.
Maybe it's my wishful thinking. I wish the public cared more about those policy issues, because I think that's where we win. If people knew the tax policy and the spending policy and the, you know, it's interesting to see her try to adopt his policies, though. You know, she cast the deciding vote on this thing to tax tips, right?
Yeah.
And now she comes out because Donald Trump has been telling everybody that tipped income is not going to be taxed. All of a sudden, she's not going to tax.
Well, he did it about 2 weeks before her. Like he's been doing it for years.
I think even more than that. But,
okay.
But yeah, this cycle, definitely. But she literally cast the tie-breaking vote to keep the tax on tips.
She's moved dramatically the border, from 19.
You know,
there's no doubt.
She's saying she's going to secure the border on day one. Well, you're on day 1300 of your term, and you have done nothing. In fact, you've done the opposite of nothing.
Okay, but you would have to say, listen, Biden has to own a lot of the chaos on the border. 100%. I agree with that?
Yes.
I've made that point a lot. However, when Lankford...
She was the border czar,
whether she wants to say she was or wasn't. But she was very involved. She was very involved.
Yes.
But when Lankford... Murphy and Sinema came up with a deal where the Democrats, as you know, didn't get their pet projects, and it was going to make some level of progress. Not a lot, but some level of progress. Who stopped?
Here's
you got to answer the question.
Here's
who
the dirt. I don't know
Donald
because I wasn't
John
there.
Trump.
I
Come
wasn't
on.
There.
Yes, you did.
But here's the real
One of the
facts.
Rare times you didn't answer questions.
Here's the real facts. They don't need that bill to secure the border. Donald Trump didn't need that bill to secure the border. He did it. Biden could do it if he wanted to, and Harris could do it if she gets elected if she wants to. And she will try to blame a Republican for not wanting to secure the border. And voters are smart enough to know how stupid that sounds.
Okay, but since the executive order passed, the border numbers have improved dramatically. You have to acknowledge that, right? The last 2 months since Biden offered up the executive order, which, by the way, was tied to politics.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's say this about Donald Trump. You're a Republican. You're not exactly enthusiastically voting for this guy who is a wild card every day. And let's admit, wakes up every day and says, how will today benefit me?
So I had a debate this week with a friend of mine who is a woman. She's works in my field. She's from another state. She worked for a Republican governor for years. She considers herself a Republican. She hates Donald Trump. And her and I went back and forth. And we came down to this. She cares a lot about January 6th and abortion. And those things are not as important to me as the border and tax policy and all of the things. So when I look at Harris versus Trump, I can't wait to vote for Trump. Now, do I wish I could create a candidate myself? Sure. But
would you
this
vote
is
for Nikki Haley over Donald Trump?
Would I have? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she would have been better in the general election and for our party. But that's not the choice I have today.
On foreign policy, do you trust him standing up?
Yeah.
To the most evil of all, to Putin,
I do.
And Xi. What's the proof?
I think he has stood up on foreign policy more than anybody else has. I mean, even
oh come on,
little sure he has. And I would say you have to be
more than Reagan.
Somebody has to fear more than the current cast of characters. I think somebody has to fear you before they can trust you or like you.
Do you think Vladimir Putin feared Donald Trump?
I don't think that Russia.
Vladimir Putin fears Donald Trump as much as you fear me.
I don't think Russia invades its neighbors under a Trump presidency. I think that's a fact. And
It's an opinion.
They just, well,
come on, you know it's an opinion.
Okay, it's my opinion, yeah. But I believe it to be true.
Right.
But I think, you know, that's the sort of thing that I don't think Biden and the Democrats are respected as a strength in the world.
But most a lot of Republicans don't want to give Ukraine any more money.
Correct.
This is the Republicans that are the party that normally stands up, and they're saying enough. Donald Trump is basically saying, hey, just give Russia what they have right now and cut it to an end.
Yeah.
You think Ronald Reagan would have said that?
No.
Right? So Biden is standing up stronger to Putin than Trump is right now.
That's your opinion.
All right. I always appreciate you coming on. Get back in politics. Come on. Run for some office.
Keep twisting my arm.
Yeah, let's go. How about a round of applause for Kurt Dowd? A politician you're actually going to have a debate with, and he'll answer questions. We need more Kurt Dowd in politics.
I'm gonna clip that.
Yeah, I'll say it's fake news. It was AI. It wasn't me. Jason is next. I mean, I'm sick. I got Tim Cheetah suggesting I have Meniere's disease, Lyme's disease. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we had an estimate of 742,000 people in front of us earlier today. And so then I asked, you know, the show that's coming up, Drive Time. I asked Dan, then I asked the host, Jason, the food critic, would he bring me back a treat? Just one treat. You know, there are treats everywhere. He doesn't have to pay for any. And so I think, here's my friend, Jason DeRush. Not only my colleague, but my friend.
Yeah.
We socialize together.
Sure.
And I'm looking around, and I see him, and he's on his phone. There's a shocker. He's taking selfies.
Content. It's called generating content.
He's taking selfies. He's lining up like six friends.
A lot of selfies. I heard Adam Carter, sad news that no one asked him to take a selfie at the fair. Rough.
We've taken about 20.
Yes, come on.
I don't know what he's talking about. Where's my treat?
Yeah. Well, I'm here. I thought that's what you meant.
No. I can make it very clear.
Huh.
That's not
what I thought me being here was a treat enough.
Just don't tell me what disease I have. I don't need to hear any more diseases. We'll talk Canopy, and then Jason's going to take you home.
Hey, Drive Time with DeRush is coming up in a couple of minutes. I just walked from here to the north end of the fairgrounds.
No treats in the way, too.
One of the new vendors, newer vendors, the Hangar.
Yep.
Which has a cool setup for live music and everything. They have touchscreen ordering.
Oh. At the fair, that's very rare, right?
Well, isn't this a case of know your audience? Like, I mean, if you're
selling... You think we all want to talk to somebody?
No, I think if you're selling boba to 18-year-old kids, a touchscreen is a good idea. I think of the great Minnesota get-together, take a look around. I'm not sure that touchscreen... No offense, sir.
Once again,
Wilfred over there is very upset.
Jason casting aspersions. By the way, Jason will be 50 his next birthday. I like how he acts like he's significantly younger.
My act will change when I turn 50.
Well, I think you have a Medicare spot already, don't you?
He'll be joining us today.
How could you make fun of the olds when you're doing a Medicare spot?
I think most old people have a good sense of humor about aging. Most people are pretty funny about it.
Yeah, apparently you think they don't know how to work a touchscreen.
I don't know that touchscreen ordering is what we want at the state fair. It's certainly not the kind of personal service you get from the canopygroup.com.
Oh, my God.